How very interesting that on this feast, which expresses, after the octave of Pentecost, expresses the most sublime, the most central mystery of our holy Catholic faith, the most inexorable mystery, which can never be understood by any one of us, the reality, the existence, and the revelation to the Church and through the Church to all mankind, to those who are willing to accept it, of the reality of the most holy, the most blessed Trinity. Who can fathom it? Without any doubt, all of us would be like St. Augustine on the shores of the Mediterranean when he beheld a little boy taking water from the ocean, from the Mediterranean Sea, and putting it into his conch. And he kept putting it and putting it, and as he put in water, that water came out. It would not hold it. And St. Augustine just looked at him for a few minutes, and then finally he could not contain himself. After all, he was St. Augustine. Great people can't keep their mouth shut, usually. And so he says to him, "Little boy, what on earth are you doing?" And he says, "Augustine," and he stood up, "Augustine, I am putting the Mediterranean Sea into my conch." Because it was maybe about this size. And St. Augustine furrows his brow and scratches his forehead and says to him, "Do you not realize that you cannot put the Trinity into this little conch? That is, rather, the ocean into this little conch?" And then the little boy stood up and he said, "Do you not realize, O Augustine, that you cannot put the reality of me, of my Trinity, into your little brain?" In other words, you might as well give up while you're ahead. And that's the way it is. We must accept the revelation of God as He has given it to us. And it is to be found not only in the sacred scripture, from the first book, the book of Genesis, all the way to the end of the scriptures in the book of the Apocalypse of St. John, the evangelist. But it is to be found in the sacred tradition of the Church that gives us both the sacred scripture and the explanation thereof. The Trinity is a central tenet of our Catholic faith. Without it, we are nothing. The Trinity is the reality of God. God, the infinite, the eternal, the everlasting God, who is one God, one substance, one divinity, one majesty, but who also is three persons in that one majesty. There is a trinity of persons, one God, no trinity of gods, only one God. This is something inexorable, ineffable. How can we possibly understand it? And so we must accept it. In the gospel that we have read today, it is right before our Lord ascends into heaven. "Go ye therefore and baptize all nations." It was not just now for the Hebrews, the Israelites. It is for all nations. The Romans, the Greeks, the Parthians, the Medes, the Libyans, all of them. The Egyptians, the Persians, the Indians, the Asians, all of their different families. All of them are invited by God, the Almighty, the Triune God, into His holy family, which is the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, outside of which there is no salvation. God has not gone through all this trouble for something that is not necessary. Belief in the Trinity is necessary for salvation. And those who do not believe in the Trinity, they have cut themselves off. God will not go against your free will. Those who do not believe in His holy Catholic Church have cut themselves off. God will not go against your free will. Do as you will. If you wish to jump off a cliff and die, then let it be your privilege. But there is no other way around. There is but one. But one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And so we give thanks to God for this great mystery. What God is there like to our God that has revealed Himself clearly and unabashedly as what He really is? And it is a mystery. Many people confound it and confuse it because they think, well, maybe perhaps there are three gods. The Father is a God, and the Son is a God, and the Holy Spirit is a God. Yes, they're all God, but they're not three gods. There are three persons in the one Godhead, the one Trinity. There is a Trinity of persons. The only difference between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is their eternal interpersonal relations. The Father is Father only to the Son. And the Son is Son only to the Father. That constitutes who they are. Try to understand it. You will not. But that's okay. You can try. Keep trying. You may reach the understanding of it on the day of your death. And you will, when you see Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on their thrones and beside and not far from them, the Holy Mother, who is the perfect tabernacle of the Trinity and of the Son. And so, one God in three persons. The only difference between the Son and the Holy Spirit is the fact that the Holy Spirit proceeds by way of wisdom from the Father and the Son, by way of love. The Son by way of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is spirated by them eternally. There was not a moment in which they were not. Understand that if you can. But that is the way it is. And we must accept it. And that is what faith is. Believing in the things that we cannot see, that we cannot touch, that we cannot explain otherwise, except by the gift of faith. And so today, we seek to explain, without much success, I'm afraid. We seek to understand, without much success, I'm afraid, the mystery of the Trinity. But we believe, and this faith of ours is sacred, and it is God-given, and it is necessary for entrance into heaven. That is why the Church is missionary in her very existence. Go forth and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The mystery of the Trinity is the most wonderful and beautiful thing that you can ever imagine. I have written many pages about it and done much, 2 doctorates about the Trinity. And I don't understand it any more than St. Augustine did, or maybe a little more. St. Augustine was later on to write about the Trinity and explain so much more than he did know when he looked at the boy with the conch. And then, of course, this particular day is very important to me personally. A new member for the choir. It was on this day that His Holiness, my friend and mentor, St. John Paul II, chose for my ordination to the priesthood so many years ago. And I was very, very young, younger than I should have been, but nevertheless, it was done. And I'm still 29. And so today is a very, very special day. The chalice that I will use for the consecration of this Mass is a chalice which I designed and had made for my ordination, and it was consecrated by the prefect of the pontifical household, my good friend, Jacques Cardinal, now I can't think of the name, it was on my tongue a minute ago, where's the mirror, Martin, who was with the Holy Fathers from John the 23rd to John Paul II, and Benedict even, until his death. Unfortunately, we all have to go sometime. I will be going soon myself. But he consecrated that chalice and a few other chalices that I have. And so I will use that. It's a very, very, very special chalice. On top of the fact that it weighs like 25 pounds. It's a good weight if you need to lift weights. But it has seen so much history of the church and of my life. And of course, never at that moment did I even imagine that the traditional Mass was going to be liberated. Even if now some people are trying to put it back into shackles, they will not succeed. All over the world, there's confusion and death and empty churches. And everywhere all over the world, in Europe this past couple of weeks, hundreds of thousands of young people, with many young priests and seminarians and clerics of all kinds, went on different processions. In Spain, there were several. In France, the great and famous Chartres pilgrimage, which of course is not as great as the Spanish one. Nothing is as great as the Spanish one. And then, of course, there were others in Germany and Italy, hundreds of thousands of young people who are traditional-minded and do not want all the changes that have been brought about without any excuse or whatever in the last 60 years. Those things will go away. This will remain. And so we give thanks to God. And St. John Paul II tried to do something about it, but he was surrounded by his enemies. Soon to be St. Benedict XVI did something about it, but then he was surrounded by his enemies. And you know how things are now. Total darkness and confusion, except for places like this, which are more and more and more in this country and throughout the world. The devil cannot destroy the church. The devil cannot destroy the true Mass. He's trying, but we are thankful to God, and we are thankful to God that I have been, with only a couple of exceptions, been able to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass every day since I was ordained a priest by His Holiness. In many altars and many saints that you cannot possibly imagine. So, what a better way, today and next Sunday, when we will celebrate it again, to give thanks to God with a supreme act of thanksgiving, the Eucharist. And some of our children will be receiving the Holy Eucharist for the first time in their lives. And I remind the parents, they do not have to memorize the Summa Theologiae. They just need to come, and God will feed them. Do you think St. Augustine knew what he was talking about? Do you think Adam and Eve knew what they were talking about? Don't expect your children to know more than you do. And I assure you, if I were to quiz you, you would flunk. Do not keep the children from Jesus. That was the desire of St. Pius X. the great hero against the modernist heresy which is destroying the church, trying to destroy the church. And so next Sunday we will have that great joy. And yesterday I had the great joy of baptizing two children that had been preparing. They didn't know it, but they were. And I was preparing them little by little by little as two more of the Goodman family were baptized and became members, full members, of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, outside of which there is no salvation. Pray for more baptisms. Pray for more vocations. And we have 25 from this parish. No diocese has 25 vocations anymore. Not even big ones like New York or Chicago. Boys and girls were following the call of Christ. All of this comes from here, from this altar. Some of it comes from this servant who has persevered in spite of every attack and every evil that has been lavished upon me. And look all around you. The Blessed Mother will not be conquered by anybody. She crushes the head of the evil serpent with her Son, the Redeemer of the world, the second person of the Trinity. She who is the most wonderful chosen daughter of God the Father, the chosen mother of God the Son, and the most chaste and loving wife and spouse of God the Holy Spirit, the tabernacle of the Holy Trinity. To her we turn today, Our Lady of the Trinity, to help us and to help us grow and increase in our faith and our love for this mystery. We can never understand it, not even in heaven. Not even the angels understand it. Only God understands God. But we can accept it. We can receive it. And we can worship Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May He bless us all. And may He grant that I will be able to continue to serve Him at this altar in the sacred liturgy of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.